to use it somehow.
Okay. And I guess there.
And you have your favorite questions, so let's see where that goes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think the more difficult questions for me, or the more the less, how to say, the stories that are less present in my life, let's call it that way, is the third one, to experience the presence of spirits, and how does everything have a soul? Or is this, can a spirit be materialized or material? the would you say the world has more than three dimensions? So number nine. I think the question about the concept of time and synchronicity also, number four. So. Yeah, and the relationship, it's trees and stones. And then the question about trance. And everything else, of course, as well.
Yeah, but I'm just gonna say it's like all inclusive.
Yeah. It's the if we want some order, then maybe.
Well, your questions make me think, to think about this in kind of a unified way, because normally the teaching from an experiential perspective is as it comes. Hmm. And so I find it interesting to try to think of it as a body of work. But the one question that you had about it, you know, do you think there's a technology, or does technology play a role? And you know, I've been kind of struggling with that one. I'm not sure about how I would answer that, except to say, for example, that technology is now available on YouTube. You can see everything. You can see every shamanic piece of work and music that has ever been composed, and interviews and all of that that we never were able to see before. So does it play a role? Well, in a way, it creates a very broad exposure of something that used to be kept secret and only handed down from generation to generation, or from shaman to shaman trainee, you know, as in Carlos Castaneda and stuff like that. So, yeah, maybe. If nothing else, just to put people in touch with, you know, what it looks like, but never probably what the internal experience is, which I think matters more. Two people. So, the presence of spirits. So, you know, when I was a kid, I always saw things. I saw creatures and spirits and all of that. I would say until I was about 11 years old, and then by then, all of that was. I was told that wasn't what you were supposed to look for, but I spent a lot of my time as a child looking out the window and kind of seeing things, and I think that's why I love gardening so much, because you can be in touch with those kinds of influences and not be thought crazy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not, and you can commune with that kind of the varying energies and feel good about it and so on. But the most profound experience that I had was when I stopped drinking decades ago. I was very much aware of help from the other side. And the way this, that it came about was really interesting. I decided to stop drinking on the 17th of December, and Frank and I had never taken a honeymoon, and we decided during that time that we were going to go to the Big Island of Hawaii. And at the time, I had a friend who was training as a hypnotherapist, and she had come across in some of the groups that she had done the work of a Hawaiian healer by the name of Papa Awe. And she said, "Oh yeah, if you're going to Hawaii, you need to see Papa Awe. He's really a healer." And I thought, great, okay. But Frank immediately picked up on it, and he called Papa Awe and made an appointment, and we drove all the way across the Big Island from Kona to Hilo, where Papa Awe lived, in a wooden house painted dark red, and he was about 85 years old. And we come in the back door, and he takes us into kind of a sitting room, and we're sitting on chairs, and he starts asking me about, you know, how long and what's going on. And I don't remember everything that he asked me, nor do I remember everything that he told me, but I remember his eyes. And basically his instruction to me was, yes, you take these herbs, and you put them in tea, and every day at the same time, and you eat poi, and, you know, which I hated, it was really hard, and so on and so forth, and he said, it will not be easy, and I said that I knew that, and so that was the end of that, except to say that was the beginning of the support that I felt for the change. And I knew that it was going to happen, and I knew that it was going to last. Even though, you know, I had my moments of craving and all of that stuff, I knew that this was once and for all. Years later, I got a copy of Parabola, and this was sometime after Papa Awe died.
Parabola?
It's a publication, kind of an esoteric publication in the United States, and there was an article on Papa Awe and his life work, and I discovered then that he was the great kahuna of all the Hawaiian Islands. He was the great shaman of all the Hawaiian Islands. He was in charge of the rituals of the City of Refuge and all of this, where I had first gone as part of my pilgrimage on the island of Hawaii to be initiated in Reiki at the City of Refuge. So I felt that that was a huge influence in my life. And also the fact that 3 years leading up to this point, I had been in the company of Native Americans, because part of my work for this corporation was to maintain relationships with all the Native American tribes, working with Native American youth to help them, encourage them in careers in technology.
Right.
But there I was meeting with elders, and I was learning Native American ways, and I was hanging out with, you know, all of the tribal stories and learning all of this. So finally there was someone had said to me, I was sitting at a luncheon next to a Native American, and he was a Cherokee, and he said, you know, I never had anything in my life until I quit drinking, And he said, now I have my dignity. And it was like an arrow pierced my heart. I was just like, that's what it is. And then the whole story about Papa Awe and so on and so forth.
And if you say, I felt the support, can you try to visualize it somehow?
No, it was a felt thing. Mm. And I remember saying in AA meetings, you know, and people often think you're crazy when you first sober up, you know, that there's... But I said, I feel like there's help from the other side. I feel like there are angels watching over us and that we are being taken care of if we allow it. Yeah.
And
people,
And did you feel it as a physical thing?
I felt it as, something around my head or you know, I just always felt a presence or presences, and I trusted that. So maybe I graduated from when I was younger, seeing, to feeling, and so then that was felt presences. So yeah.
And when you were a kid, you could see them.
Yeah.
And can you give an example of what you saw?
No, because it's difficult to identify. I just always felt at home, and I didn't feel threatened, and I didn't feel afraid. You know, but in the night, you know, I'd tell my father I saw something go down the hall, and he would get up and go down the hall, and then he'd come back and he'd say, "No, nothing there."
Exactly. So it's, would you say it as a kid you could see a body but you could not describe?
I could see entities, beings, whether they were bodies, it was less definable than that.
Okay.
Shapes.
Colors?
Yes, some. Yes. And I'm not so sure that most children don't see something like that, or they see something around people, or that they can read auras, you know, because I was able to do that at different times in my life.
To read people's auras.
Yeah, to see. Yeah, yeah. To see the colors, and not at the time understanding what it meant, but you know, I could see darkness in certain auras and light in others, and wondering what that was.
And how far they went.
Not really at the time, not really understanding that it was something. You know, I just had this kind of vague sense that something was going on, and where there was darkness, I felt there was darkness. Mm. Yeah.
And so, did you recuperate this vision, or do you?
From time to time, I can see that. Yeah. It's not something that I rely on as a profession in that sense, but it's something that I think all people are capable of reading and do read from to one degree or another. So I guess it's just information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think the spirit world is with us. I think the invisible world is with us, and that the veil between the visible and the invisible is very thin. And we think that death is a big door that separates us, but I don't think that's so. And I think quantum physics is telling us that, you know, 1 minute you're on one side and the next minute you're on the next. Mm-hmm. Whoever you are, maybe.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Mm. So they have a material. Spirits are material.
Yeah, because I suppose if you say that the absolute is the immaterial, then yes, I suppose there are gradations between what is densely material and what is less densely material.
Can you give an example?
Well, I mean, rocks and this chair I'm sitting in, okay, let's just say that's one kind of physical reality. And then what would you say to felt presences, you know, that they're not seen necessarily, or maybe they are seen, but they're ephemeral. Yeah, they're not solid.
Like gas.
Yeah, or less than gas, yeah.
You might have to move.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, let's go a bit further on.